This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It's good to be back. Amen. I want to introduce you to my bride, my girl. Hey, known this girl for 36 years. Ek het mooi agter haar gekyk, né? Here we go. She's my wife. She's my love. Love of my life. And I really appreciate her. Next time you can ask her to speak to you. Don't say anything about me. And Brett, can you stand as my son? So you turn around. People can see. Okay. Thank you. And that's his cousin, Kyle. Kyle, you can ook maar staan. And just some of our congregation members are here as well. Yaku and Michelle is here. And I saw Dean and Monique there. Can you stand? Many of you know Dean and Monique. Kom staan, jelle. There we go. Good. Kom, Yaku. Yaku, ons weet jy is getrouwd. So nobody will steal you. Okay. Good. It's a privilege to be here. And it sounds like it's a normal phrase. But to have the Word of God minister through you and minister unto you is one of the greatest privileges to speak on behalf of God. It also makes you very responsible because the Bible is very clear that you will have to give an account of every word that comes out of your mouth. And so it is my endeavor, it is my desire to speak unto you things that will build up, that will edify, that will last. And the examples and the things that I'll share with you, I trust God that you will take with you and that you'll do more than we have done. I'm here tonight because I have a blessed marriage. I have a wife that has faithfully served me. And I faithfully served her. And I'm bold to say that. And I'll tell my story later on as I expand about the sacredness of sex. But I really believe that the glory of the latter shall be greater than the glory of the former. That's what the Bible declares. So I believe that the next generation will be even greater, make more impact. I believe that God wants to visit your home. He wants to visit your family. He wants to reveal in and through you His greatness. So one of the prayers that I learned to pray many years ago, when a man came to me, his name was Pastor Billy Duplessis. He came to me and he prayed. We were just a few months married. And he said, God, give them more than you've given me. Give them more anointing than you've given me. Give them more revelation than you've given me. And I thought, that is strange. I've never heard anybody wants that. And I made that prayer mine. Because if you don't do better than I have done, then this world and your family and your friends and your friendship circle is doomed. You are the salt of the earth. It is through you that God will bring about the changes. We talk about a moral fiber that we want to change here in our nation. You are the answer. You are the man. You're the woman that God wants to use. So we want to encourage you as you hear some of the things that I will share with you tonight. I want you to make it yours. You must personalize it. It mustn't just be general knowledge. It mustn't just be interesting. It mustn't just be impactful. It must become you. It must become flesh. And I trust God that you will hear my heart when I speak about this. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read the first 13 verses again. And then I'll expand. And later on we'll also read Deuteronomy chapter 22. So those of you who haven't heard me this morning, I'm just going to carry on from where I started this morning and trust God that some of you will be able to follow. Please listen to the tape if you can, because that'll lay a foundation about some aspects of intimacy and relational issues that you and I will have to embrace if we want a meaningful relationship. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So we talk about people, before we go to verse 5, we talk about people who serves the Lord. He calls them brethren. Now he's actually ministering to them, because there's comparisons and there are examples in the Old Testament that they need to take notice of. Because the past experiences must awaken certain realities and truths into our lives. It's one of the reasons we testify. One of the reasons we share with you our victories, our pains. Here's the principle of testimony. Testimony say, God can do it again. God can do it again. So I don't want you to hear stories that we have embrace and our own stories and think that is too high for you. Now the reason that you hear it is because God wants to awaken within you. He can do it through you as well. Amen. So let's read verse 5. But with the most of them, God was not well pleased. I'm talking about these believers. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So you see, one of the things that caused them a problem is lust. Okay, next verse. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. That's the second one. And it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality. Say sexual immorality. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight, because it plays such a very important part in our lives. I don't have time to elaborate about the others. Now let's go on and say, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained. So there you see tempting Christ and murmuring or complaining. Those are the things that prevented them from going into the promised land, from going into Canaan. And I'll elaborate about that as well, or I'll try. Nor complain, as some of them. Okay, verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And then this famous verse, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Very important, those five things that can hinder you. Hinder you from reaching your destiny. Everyone, as you sit here under the sound of my voice, you have an assignment. You have a plan that God has written about you. Heaven is familiar. Everything that God has already planned for you. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he preordained that you should walk in them. The plan that God has for your life fits you like a glove. The plan that God has for you is beyond your imagination. By the way, just for the record, God doesn't make plans. He has plans. He anticipated your coming. He went into the future, saw the problem, solved it, and now goes back to the present. And then he says, Renee, walk with me. Walk with me. There is nothing that catches God by surprise. There is no problem that intimidates the living God. He is the eternal one. He lives in the eternal dateless past and in the eternal dateless future simultaneously. And this is what Jesus Christ, sometimes we think of Jesus in normal terms, in human terms, but he's God. He's God eternal. And you are the object of his love. You live in the heart of God. The plan that God has for you. You remember Jeremiah 29:11? It's a very famous scripture. Now I want to bring this to you because I want you right here in the midst of turmoil and trouble and challenges that you have. I want you to know God is not biting his nails about the future. God is not in anxiety about your future. I'll say it in Afrikaans because I really believe it hits home when you hear the Afrikaans version of Jeremiah 29:11. The English says, "For I know the plans that I have concerning you, plans of good and not of evil, that you might have an expected end. Want ek weet watter gedagtes ek aangaande jou koester, gedagtes van vrede om vir jou 'n hoopvolle toekoms te gee." Dis hoe die lewende Bybel klink. Dit is net ek wat weet wat my plan vir jou lewe is. Maar ek beplan voorspoed en nie teespoed nie. Daarom is daar vir jou 'n goeie vooruitsig en 'n toekoms. God's got a plan. God has got your plan. Amen. I want you to know it's a good one. It fits you. It's exactly for you. And tonight we're going to zoom into a social aspect of your life that is very important to God. This morning I testified how I prayed in October of 1989. I was praying in the Spirit, and while I was praying in the Spirit, I got the interpretation. And the Lord said to me very specifically that I hold you responsible for what you are doing, but right now I hold you responsible for what you are doing, but you are accountable for what you should have done. Now, I was climbing the ladder in the business world, and all of those things were wonderful. But I understood in my heart, at the end of the day, God's got a plan for my life, and it's not the corporate ladder. And I wanted to follow that. And one day, God will call some of you. I'll use Dean as an example, and the rest of you can't feel so uncomfortable. One day God might call Dean and say, "Dean, you're supposed to be the postmaster in Belleville District. Can you give me an account of all the people that you've served? Because your sphere of influence is very important to God." Then he might say, "But I've been a principal, you know, at the Brackenfell Primary." Find out what God wants for you. Find out. You've got to find out. You have got to find out. There are people that you know that I will never meet in my life. And they are the people that God banks on your life, because you and your sphere of influence is very important to God. I remember that day so distinctly where he said to me, "Your sphere of influence are very important to me." That's why you were not born in the 1800s. That's why you were born now. Some of you say, "Thank you, Jesus. I wasn't born in the 1800s. You're born now. So I just want to emphasize that you understand that God wants you and your life right now to have an effect, to have an impact, to leave an imprint, to leave an impression on people's lives. Whether you like it or not, you're already influencing people's decisions. They've done research. I've studied the word oikos, and they've done research about the sphere of influence of a man. And this is one of the conclusions that one of the American universities came up with. They said, in your lifetime, this is now in the Western world, taking a scenario from a Western world setup. In your lifetime, you would have influenced at least 50 people as far as eternal destinations is concerned. At least 50. Your imprint is very, very important. God wants you and I to get to the original pattern. This morning I spoke about house in a very specific way. House is your relationships. House is your estate. House is my relationship with my wife and my son. And my daughter is not in the house anymore. She stays on her own. But we have a bond, we have an influence. And I want you to understand that God is saying this to you. I remember many years ago, I don't see Liesel here tonight, but Liesel and Jaco, Mari, I married them as well. Ek het nogal heel wat van julle getrou, nê? Ja. Ros, hoekom was ek nie genooi na jou troue toe nie? And I helped him to get his wife. Ons moet praat, Ros, okay. Ons moet praat, okay. But I married them. And it was at this the Anglican church here in Durbanville. I was there. It was a beautiful setting. And I remember Jaco asking his grandfather, who was a dominie, was a former dominie, former minister. They asked him to pray. And I remember those words in Afrikaans so clearly. Because the man was anointed. When he opened his mouth, the presence of God fell in that place. And he prayed so slowly and, you know, with such regard and respect for the language and for the audience. And he said this, as die Here die huis in die bou nie, te vergeefs werk die werkers. As die Here die stad nie bewaak nie, te vergeefs waak die wagters. God wants to build your house. God wants to build your future. There are two words that I want to take with you here this morning as far as house is concerned. It is your legacy and your lineage. Your legacy and your lineage. Your legacy is what you leave behind. Your legacy is what you've done. It's your investments. It's your reputation. That's your legacy. God wants to build that. He wants to work together with you. But your lineage is who you leave behind. He wants to make sure that your lineage are a godly offspring. That your lineage will do better than you have done. I was sharing with my son yesterday. And I tell him, you know, I come from a disadvantaged background. And God has blessed me to come to the place where I am. Just so that you can stand on my shoulders. Because you must do much better than I have done. I thank God that my children have. And it's still early days. And I'm looking forward to see what God will do in and through them. For I really believe the word of God. He's building. He is busy shaping. I'm talking about you and your life. God says, I want to build you. I want to build you. I want to shape you. I want to form you. I want to build you professionally. I want to build you morally. I want to build you spiritually. I want you to have a legacy that speaks. I want you to have a lineage that you're not ashamed of. This is the promised land that I'm talking about. This is the Canaan. This is what God is talking about. And he says to these people here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, please, please don't make the mistake that they have done. Lust kept them from their promised land. Lust kept them from their legacy and their lineage. Idolatry kept them away. Sexual immorality kept them away. And God is saying, learn the lessons. I heard somebody said years ago, a donkey's second kick is your fault. Amen. So don't make the same mistake. Dis dom om weer voor die donkie te gaan staan. Amen. One of the things we do, my wife and I will also tell people, and one of the things that we've done, even with our children, they obviously know our mistakes, they know our shortcomings, but what we also do is to tell you of what we've done wrong. It's wonderful to have good testimonies of all the things that we've accomplished. But there are things that we've done wrong. And we don't want you to repeat and make the same mistakes. All I want you to hear tonight, as far as sexual immorality is concerned, don't let that keep you from your promised land, from your future, from the plan that God has for your life. You can't just afford to exist. You must live. There's a difference between existing and living. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Zoe, the God kind of life. And he was speaking to people who were breathing biologically. He was speaking with people who had culture, the Greeks, the Jews. It's not enough to be culturally impactful or impressive. It's not enough to be educational. It's not enough to be business, you know, to have the acumen and to have the finer points of your professional career. It's not enough. You need a God imprint. You need God to breathe on you. You need God to breathe on your life. That is why the Lord say, if the Lord doesn't build the house, they who labor in vain. Here's four words that really struck me when I read this. And I know I'm laying foundations here before we get to the more sensitive parts. Say to the person next to you, more sensitive parts are coming. Amen. Tighten your belt. Amen. Tighten your belt because we're going under the belt tonight. Amen. Amen. You got me. My wife sinks in, you know, how can you say stuff tonight? You know, but the pulpit has been too shy. Here's the four words. When I read the occasion, Jesus went twice to the temple, twice. And he was very unhappy with what he saw. Shortly after the miracle where he, at Cana, where he made water, wine out of water, he went to the temple and saw what is happening there. And he took a whip and he chased the guys out. And just before his crucifixion, he did exactly the same. He has a passion for the house of God. And you are the house of God. And he said these words, my house shall be called a house of prayer for many nations. He was talking about a house where God speaks, where you speak and God speaks back. He's talking about you as the house of God, where you hear the voice of God and God hears your voice, where there's a relationship, where there is communication and there's a dialogue. God is saying, he said, this is the purpose. This is what you are all about. You are the one that God wants to commune through. But then he said these words, but you have made it. But you have made it. I'm asking you tonight, stop building your own career. Stop building your own house, your own legacy, your own lineage. Ask the Lord to come in and change that all together. Oh, he can't wait. He can't wait. Jesus said these words, him that comes to me, I will by no means cast out. I will by no means cast out. I really believe this is a word from God. This morning, I didn't complete my sentence when I said, I sense God is saying, Ross, that he's doing a new thing. Amen. And you heard the Holy Spirit say the same scripture to many of you. He's about to change what is normal. He's about to change the seasons in your life. He's about to change the platforms. He's about to change your sphere of influence and expand that. Because when God looks at you, let's use the stats. He looks at 50 people. Amen. At least 50. God banks on you. He banks on your influence. I mentioned Abram because I wanted to go through these examples that I want you to hear this morning. How God came to Abram to his tent. And God revealed his intentions. In fact, this man was a moon worshiper. Any moon worshippers in here tonight? No moon worshippers. Okay? Amen. No moon worshippers. Yet God came to this man. I've always asked myself, why Abram? Why Abram? And scripture reveals it. Scripture says, God said in Genesis 18 verse 19, God saw that he would run or manage his household well. His focus was on his spouse, his children, his workers. He had more than 300 of them, and he called his workers sons. He treated them like sons. Imagine if employers do that. Imagine. It's a different approach. And God says, I can use this man. And he came to him and said to him, Abram, I want to bless you. I want to make your name great. Here God talks about, I want to build your reputation. I want to build your legacy. I want to do that. Yes, you've done well, but I want to do it. And I want to make you a blessing, and through you all the families of the earth shall be blessed, your sphere of influence. Abram was 75 years old. And logically, he looked at himself and he said, Lord, what's my prat? You know, cake for Sarah. Sarah de course can bear it. You know, she's not of age anymore. She can't reproduce, and I am a man of age. And basically what the Lord is saying to him, when I say it, it happens. I wish the Church of Jesus Christ can grasp the authority and the life that His Word contains. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is vibrant with the life. It is impregnated with His Spirit. It carries exactly what is needed to make happen what He said. Say that again. It is alive. It is vibrant. It has the energy. It has the power to make happen. It's like seed. If it's sown, the Bible says, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Isaiah 55. When God said, let there be light, I guarantee you tomorrow morning you'll see that word still works. Amen. It changes everything. Now he said to Abram, you will have a son. Power went out. Power went out. To affect his very anatomy. To affect his biological makeup. And sometimes we don't think further than what we've heard. But if you really think about it, Sarah was 65. 65 years old, when she heard God spoke that. And later on, she heard the same message, because God repeats Himself. God makes the same promise to Abram. Because sometimes, you know, we think God is not serious about promises. That's why you hear testimonies. How many of you have heard the same word over and over from God? He's busy communicating with you. He wants you to receive. He wants you to receive what He said. Years later, you read the story of Abram. Abimelech wanted Sarah for his harem. Even you know what is a harem? Okay. My wife is good enough for my harem. Amen. Why want a 99-year-old, a 90-odd-year-old for your harem? It's a sexual thing altogether. Her physical body was changed by the word and the promise of God that this king wanted this lady, this good-looking lady, this 90-year-old good-looking lady was transformed by the word of God. Amen. That is why you can't afford not to take the word of God serious. You make it yours. My son, my words, these words shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you might observe to do everything that is written therein. Then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. What will you do if a government takes over that bans the Bible on any and every platform? Then you better have the Word of God in your heart. Then you better have the Word of God there. Now, you've heard me tell this story when I was still the pastor of Tigerberg many, many years. And it's about Brett. How I came to Pero Center. He was just a year old. And I remember this clearly, and I'll shorten the testimony because I just want you to get the impact of you taking what God has promised over your sexuality tonight. I want you to make that yours. I want you to take serious what God is saying, because the word is happening. Right now, the word is happening. The word is busy happening. He fell out of the trolley, and I got such a fright. I mean, this is my baby. He's falling down, and I picked him up. And as I picked him up, I heard this word: "You shall not die, but live and proclaim the works of the Lord." I remember that scripture. Who do you think lives inside of me? The devil? Who do you think reminded me of that scripture? God. And I heard that, and I picked him up. And I shouted, "You shall not die, but live and proclaim the works of the Lord." And you know, you look foolish to other people, but I didn't have time for other people's opinions. It was my son. It was my only son. I picked him up right there. I mean, he turned blue, dark. And as I shouted that word, he turned white again. He became a colored boy again. Amen. That's a wonderful testimony. But what I will never forget is walking to the car, because I didn't want to take chance with the trolleys. I walked to the car, and as I walked to my car, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "If you didn't know the scripture, I couldn't help you. Put the word of God in your heart when you don't need it, so when you do need it, it's there." Say that again. Put the word of God in your heart when you don't need it, so when you do need it, it's there. The recipe for success for Joshua was to put the word of God in your heart. Your heart is designed for the word of God. And so Abram heard that. And he understood that God was going to change his sex drive. God was going to change him completely. And I want you to know how God is focused in here tonight about your sexuality. Because we speak lightly over all these aspects and don't understand that this is what God actually really wants to zoom in. If sexual immorality will keep you from your legacy, then you need to pay attention what God is saying about sexual immorality. And don't try to justify what everybody else is doing. Everybody else will not stand in your place before God. Everybody else doesn't have your plan. Everybody else won't have the regrets. And it's important that you hear what God is saying to you here tonight. "I've got this. I've got this. I've got your plan. Yes, we've made mistakes. Yes, we've done this and haven't done that. But God says, right now where you sit, I've got this." I want you to understand, this is what the Lord wants to do. This is what the Lord wants to multiply through your life. Sarah heard this later on, and she laughed. She heard what God has promised. And this is something that we sometimes miss. I quoted Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. And it goes like this. The Bible says, "God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Now, if you read it with a religious mind, you don't actually see that God is saying, "I'm blessing you to have a fulfilled sexual life." God is saying to them, "I want you to have sex." How does that sound for your church mind? It's awkward, isn't that, for many of us? Well, not for me anymore. Because I've been trained in this. My mind is renewed. Why? Because it never came from death, never came from the devil. It was always God's plan to play a specific, meaningful role. If God says that everything that He's done is good, and when it comes to man, it's very good, and when it comes to our sexual life, it's blessed, then I want to have what God wants me to have as far as my sexuality is concerned. I want a blessed one. That is what God always wanted for you. But the devil lies to us and has defiled this very blessed issue, this very blessed principle, so that we believe that sex is dirty. We believe that. Say to the person next to you, "God wants me to have sex." Wow. 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 How's that for a religious mind? And don't go. Amen. How's that? Your religious spirit, they just ran out of the door there. But within his confines, he has a place where he wants this to be lived out. He has a place where this needs to happen. And God has given matrimony, he's given marriage for you to express and to fulfill and to enjoy this sexual union. There is something about sex that is sacred. Every one of you. Now, this sounds like very deep knowledge, but it's not. Every one of you represents a sexual act. Isn't that so? Thank you for that deep answer. Sex introduced eternal spirits on the earth. God has chosen sex to introduce people that will never, ever cease to exist. People will come forth that have the image and the likeness of God. This is the will of God. The will of God is pure. The will of God is good. The will of God is prosperous. The will of God is advantageous. Sex is good. Sex is very good. And sex is blessed within the confines that God has placed it within. I want you to know that we as a church, we need to learn that when it comes to intimacy, when it comes to very sensitive matters like this, tell Cyril Ramaphosa, your husband is very busy tonight. Amen. They're looking for the vice president. I declined. I was playing with you. Where was I? Intimacy. Hey, Kyle is concentrating, guy. Kyle. Okay, niet te vast klone jakkos. Ons is hier binne by mense, asseblief. There was a reason why God said, not the tree in the middle of the garden. Boundaries is very, very good for you. God wanted you to understand there's consequences for violating boundaries. Sometimes, you know, we don't allow our children boundaries. They must understand there's a yes, there's a no. They must understand there's a right and there's a wrong. They must understand there's consequences. Now, in his career, obviously, he's at Sanlam Investments and doing analytical work and doing a lot of work on computers. But when he was small, he used to play a lot of games, still do. So in many ways, you're still small, even though you're 25 years old. Some of you as well, playing games. And I warned him. I said to him, if you play games during exam time, I will take the computer away from you. Now, when God say that, or when Father say that, he sets a boundary. And when people hear that, they want to find out whether you're a man of integrity, whether you can actually tell the truth. And Brett stretched the truth, or he tests the truth. And right before exam time, I told him, I'm going to take the laptop away from you or the computer that time. I'm going to take it away for 3 months. Oh, that's painful for a child. And he tested me, and I caught him. Just like God designed it, I caught him just before the June holidays. Now, everybody say, it's June holidays. You know, don't let it. I made him feel that my word has value. And he's never done that sin again. So when God tells you that he wants you to have sex, God wants you to experience a fulfillment, it is within boundaries. There's a reason why he wants this to happen within matrimony, that he is blessed. Any and every other sexual sin. Any and every other sexual interaction outside of marriage is judged by God. Homosexuality is judged by God. Whether you like it or not, it is judged by God. Adultery is judged by God. Adultery, homosexuality and lesbianism is a sex between two of the same sex. Adultery is when you have sexual relations with somebody outside of your marriage. Fornication is when you have sex with somebody before you are married. Okay? And God is saying, don't do that. Don't rob yourself of the blessedness that I have in store for you. Bestiality is worse. Man having sex with an animal. And so I can carry on pornography. Years ago, it was the Playboy book. Nowadays, if you put on the computer, if you don't have all the safeguards, you are confronted with the reality. Because what the world is trying to do is to appeal to your eye gate, men. Wants your eye gate. So there's an aggressive agenda to make sure that you're captivated, to make sure that you are defiled, to make sure that the plan that God has for your life, your legacy and your lineage are affected, are tainted. You are prohibited from going into what God has designed for you. Your Canaan is where God wants you to be fruitful. Your Canaan is where God wants you to grow. Your Canaan is where God wants you to experience the seasons that He has set aside for you. Your Canaan is where God wants you to blossom. Your Canaan is where God wants you to express your faith in Him in a free and a surroundings that is without condemnation. And this prohibits condemnation and defilement. That's how the devil tricks all of us. And I'm talking to you here as the church. I'm talking to you as men and women that God relies upon as far as your influence is concerned. It's amazing how we speak about technology as if technology have changed the nature of men. Man hasn't changed. These sexual problems were on the earth centuries ago. Technology hasn't changed your scenario altogether. And people come and throw this at your feet. I counsel many of them and they say to me, Pastor William, but times have changed. But man didn't. It's like saying, a cannibal that now uses a knife and fork, he's okay. Amen. Thank you that you catch that. That's technology. To eat in a civil way. Cannibal is a cannibal is a cannibal is a cannibal. And I want you to hear the heart of God here tonight. Doesn't want you to experience it. He doesn't want you to play with fire. There's lots of examples in Scripture. I'm sure David, as he wrote, you know, in the Psalms, in Psalms 51, repented about Bathsheba. Girls, listen to me. We are affected by sight. We will always be affected by sight. So you need to be wise. How you present yourself. Sometimes we accentuate the parts of our bodies that doesn't need to be accentuated for somebody else but your husband. Sometimes we reveal cleavage that we shouldn't be revealing because it arouses anyone who looks at it. I've heard a lady say to me, that's their problem. No, it's not their problem. It's you managing your femininity. It's you managing your fertility. You are responsible to manage that. Guys, when Jesus say, look not upon a woman, he's serious about that. There is look, and then there is look. You agree with me? It's very important that we manage this. Because we fall prey unnecessarily so. I don't care how anointed you are. I don't care whether you're David. As anointed as he was, the man wrote scripture. The man fought Goliath. He had victories upon victories. But when he was irresponsible as far as his passions is concerned, he in many ways halted the plan of God for his own life and for his descendants. You'll notice in his own genealogy, his children made the same mistake. His children became immoral. His children became rebellious. And I want to encourage you here this evening that you become transgenerational minded. It's not just about you. It's about a generation that's coming. God wants salt like you to make a difference. God wants light like you just to dispel or drive away darkness of any nature. Samson was an anointed man. Samson was an anointed man. He was a Nazarene. A Nazarene had to do three things. Don't touch the grape. Don't touch a dead body. And don't cut your hair. And then he found himself in his zeal to kill the Philistines. Found a shortcut through a vineyard. Wat soek jy in die wingerd? Amen. As daar 'n kerk is wat die wingerd genoem word, dan vra ek ook vanaand, wat soek jy in die wingerd? Amen. What do you do there? What are you doing there? What are you doing there? The man is anointed. The next thing, he comes through the same path. He saw there's a lion that he killed and there's honey. And his passions once again got a hold of him and he started eating the honey. In other words, he touched the dead body. And you know, as the story progressed, the next thing he finds himself in Delilah's lap. And the next thing is she cuts his hair. And there goes his legacy. What makes you different? What makes me different? What makes us different? I want to encourage you here tonight. This is not condemnation. This is an inspiration that I would like to bring to you because God wants to clean. He wants to clean your past and make it new. This is the word that God wants to bring. This is not condemnation about your past because God knows your future better than you know your past. And God has made the plans ahead of time. Don't let the devil lie to you. It's the lot. Some of you sitting here, you say, Pastor William, I've lost my virginity. God can dignify you once again where you feel clean and act clean. Where you once again feel new and you are treated like that. First of all by yourself and then by others. I want you to know this is what the Lord wants to do here tonight. Let's walk in the light as He is in the light so that we can have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the challenge for us here tonight as far as immorality is concerned. You know what society is calling it today? They call sin a problem. It sounds so civil. Ek het 'n probleem. Pastoor, ek het 'n probleem. You know? Then you ask, what is die probleem? And you find that if you scratch, I'm sleeping around, she's sleeping around, and it's become normative and normal and acceptable because everybody is doing it. Sin is sin. You must call sin, sin. You have sin where you say, I missed the mark. You have transgression where you deliberately see. You know, it's like going to a fence and I said, trespassers will be persecuted. Moenie oor die draad klim nie. Wragtig. Dis soos 'n instruksie. Klim oor die draad, want niemand kyk nie. Dis mos die geheim nie. Transgression. You see the rule, you know the rule, you know the law, but you're going to climb over it. Transgression. Willful. Then there's iniquities. Iniquities are sins that comes from the past in your gene pool, in your genealogy. Your father has done it. Your grandfather has done it. It is in your family. This is the way that they've always done it. This is the way they've lived. I want you to know tonight, you can put the axe to the root of that tree. You can stop that tonight. I listened to my own parents. I listened to my own family. And my mom was explaining to me, she was saying, Uncle so-and-so, he has children out of wedlock. Uncle so-and-so and this one has children out of wedlock. And this one had children out of wedlock. This one got pregnant. And I heard the genealogy. I heard what's going on. I want you to know Jesus Christ, he paid for my sin, my transgression, and my iniquities. He paid for that. That thing has no right over my life, has no right over your life. And tonight you need to take a stand and say, this ends here. So I stood up as a teenager. I stood up and said, I will never sleep around until I get married. Boy, was it tough. I dated her 5 years. 5 years. Sy was, al die kurwes was op die regte plekke, mense. Al die kurwes was daar. You know. And sometimes, you just pray in the spirit. You know, Jesus. Now what happened is that she was studying, and I was first working in Clancy, one of the diamond mines. And I would drive down just to come and see her. Or I would, when I worked in Johannesburg, I would fly down just to see her. And was it difficult to touch or not to touch? Can I have any amens here?
Amen.
5 years is too long. Don't date 5 years.
Amen.
Amen. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's not reasonable. God gave you this patience. God gave you the desire. There's nothing wrong with a sexual desire. Thank God if you have it. Amen. Thank God that you have it. This comes from God, but He wants you to manage it in the right way. I want you to go with me in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 22, because I want you to read a story. I'll elaborate about that, then we'll speak about this very specific aspect of your life, because I want you to hear the heart of God here tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 22, from verse 13, I think it is. If any man takes a wife and goes into her and detests her and charges her with shameful conduct, and brings a bad name on her, and says, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found she was not a virgin. Then the father and mother of the young woman shall take and bring out the evidence of the young woman's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. And the young woman's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man as wife, and he detests her. Now he has charged her with shameful conduct, saying, I found your daughter was not a virgin, and yet these are the evidences of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. Then the elders of that city shall take that man and punish him, and they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give them to the father of the young woman, because he has brought a bad name on a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He cannot divorce her all his days. But if the thing is true and evidences of virginity are not found for the young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done a disgraceful thing in Israel, to play the harlot in her father's house. So you shall put away the evil from among you. Say thank God for the New Testament. Hallelujah. Amen. You want to ask something? Thank God for that. I have done 129 weddings. I'm sure if that scripture applied, I would have done 200 funerals. That sounds so unfair, ladies. Doesn't it sound unfair? Sometimes we are bung, you know. We don't want to ask God what's happening here. I'll leave that to Ross to explain. No, but in short, women didn't have professions like you and I had. They were totally, socially, totally dependent upon a man. And if it was found that they were divorced, then most of them would go into harlotry. So most of them would have to be professional businesswomen, if you will, to make a living because they are outcasts. So I can elaborate. But here's what I want you to catch here tonight. This is how it worked in Israel. This is the story. I come to ask for this lady's hand. I meet the parents. And the celebration, the Jewish celebration, is normally very public. And they would celebrate. And right in the middle of the celebration, now I don't know whether you recommend this, I don't. Right in the middle of the celebration, there's a tent right there in the middle of the party. And then he would take his bride, and they would go into the tent. The parents of the bride would supply the bedding for that specific occasion. Are you still with me here? Ek sien almal is wakker. They would consummate the marriage right there in the tent. And the blood that comes from the hymen will drip on the bedding. And that is called the tokens of virginity. And they would, after they've consummated, they would take the bedding, return it unto the parents, because it's the dad's honor and joy. They would keep that. And in occasions like this, where the man comes and accuses her of shameful lifestyle before marriage, the elders of the city would come together and they would ask, go to the parents and ask for the tokens of virginity. And then they would lay the bedding up in front. And if there are blood spots, then that man would be stoned. That man would be reprimanded. That man had to pay a fine. That man had to look after her all her life. Now, it doesn't sound like a harsh judgment. But I want you to know, the Bible calls that when you slander a lady's virtue. When you say that you have slept with such and such, and you brag about it. Let me tell you, God is very protective over His own. And judgment has fallen on many a house, many a family, many a hostel, many places where they brag about their accomplishments and their successes, quote unquote, about sleeping with so many or taking this one's virginity away. Let me tell you, God is very protective because God said, you've slandered someone. You've slandered somebody's virtue. People think that God doesn't judge sin. God is judging sin. God is still judging sin. If that's how you walk around and write and tell secretly or publicly to everybody, I want you to know tonight, you're in trouble. You're in trouble with God. You can be in trouble with the devil, but when you're in trouble with God, you are in serious trouble. God says, let's get over this. Let's get over this. Let's call a spade a spade. Let's call sin sin. Let's not call it a problem. Let's say that you fornicated. Let's say that you're an adulterer. Let's say that you're a lesbian. Let's say that you're part of a pornographic lifestyle. You see, beloveds, what we don't realize, the Bible is very clear. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Then the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. It seems that if sin is not confessed, if sin is not escaping, if the confession of sin doesn't come out of your mouth, it is never dealt with. It still sits there. Tonight I want you before the living God, because your legacy is at stake. Your lineage is at stake. Your Canaan is in front of you. God's plan for your life is at stake. I want you, before God, to walk in the light. I want you to put your past behind you. I want you to come to God and say, Lord, I'm leaving this. Because God judges sin. God judges sin. Let's name it. Let's not play with it. I was a virgin when I married my wife, a virgin. My wedding night was the first time I actually touched a woman. That is 30-odd years ago. And in front of everybody, I want to say once again, thank you, Pope, for preserving yourself for me. I want you to allow your future husband, your future wife, a clean life from today, from tonight onwards. Because God can restore your dignity once again. He purifies. He cleanses. He forgives. He cleanses completely. If your sin, He says, I'll make it as white as snow. He'll clean it tonight. Don't be like the world. They justify everything. Only fish who are alive swim upstream. Doefus a hamadistrum. Don't be a doefus. Amen. So I'm going to show that I'm alive. In your relationship with your girl, how many of you are dating at the moment? Thank you. I hope both of you must lift your hands. Otherwise, we don't want stuff by faith here. Both of you. Did she lift her hand? She lifted her hand. Okay, then. Because somebody might just stand in faith here and you go here. Amen. Amen. The question normally is asked, who fair is the fair? Who fair is the fair? It's the wrong question. Because you've already been too far if you ask me that. Here's levels of intimacy. Take note of this. First level of intimacy is eye to body. I see and I like what I see. Amen. That's what you do. Second one, eye to eye. You connect. How many of you experienced that? Nobody. Ross, what's wrong here? Eye to eye, you connect. Okay. What's the third one? Hand to hand. Okay. Now, this is how you do it in church. Darling, just stand up. This is how you do it in church. This is how you do it in church. If I see that, this is not church. Amen. This is not church. It's more intimate, isn't that so? Okay? So that's very important that you understand and distinguish between that, holding hands. The next level is hand to body. In other words, your hand is around the shoulder, or you might take her or him around the hips, or you walk next to each other like Siamese twins. Have you seen that? That's close. That's close. Here is where you must really get nervous if somebody else does this other than you. Play with her hair. That's very intimate. That's very intimate. Where you play with her hair. The next one is obviously kissing. There's lip kiss and there's lip kiss. Amen. Obviously you kiss on the cheeks. And then you kiss on the body. And then you go further, there's obviously different kinds of intimate kisses that awakens the passions. You want me to go further? Some people say no. Okay. The bottom line is, then you progress, obviously, where your bodily functions, where you touch, when it comes to your breast, when it comes to your genitals, and those are reserved for the marriage bed. Even the French kisses that we so eagerly promote, those awakens the passions within you. And I know that many churches, and some of the shofar churches, have advocated that you shouldn't kiss. Rather, play safe. Now, that is not necessarily in the Bible, but you can follow your own conscience. And this is what I want to share with you here tonight that is important. I had to tell Renee, I have driven 500 kilometers just to see you. Please, slaan my hand. Amen. Keer my, of ek score a goal. Are you with me? Help me. Because I like what I see. I like the stuff that goes through my body. I like that I'm awakened. If she doesn't do that to you, she's not it. Amen. So we were open and frank and transparent and honest with one another. She had to help me, I had to help her. And we had to set boundaries for ourselves because we made a proclamation, we made a declaration, both of us, we said, as long as we date, we will not go beyond this specific point. And you must have agreement about that. It is so important that you understand that your eye gate, men, needs to be guarded. One of the things that God does, as far as the church is concerned, some of you have read Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible calls the church, which is the bride of Christ, a mystery. A mystery. A mystery means that you can't fully see, that you can't fully access, that you can't fully comprehend. Now let me tell you what is a mystery. Wat noem jy nou weer die ding vir die bors, my skat? A camisole.
A lace.
It's one of the most beautiful things for me to see. What does a camisole say? There's more to what I see. But it keeps me at bay. It keeps the dream alive. It keeps the beauty alive. The church, the body of Christ, is supposed to be wise in this area. Amen. Are you with me here tonight? Because we don't speak about these things frankly enough. We're not open enough about this. And we find ourselves in condemnation for years. And I want to say to you tonight, God wants to speak to you. And He wants to change your direction, your ways altogether. I ask the Lord, and I'll close with this, because time is really against me here tonight. I ask the Lord, why did you give women a hymen, but you've given us nothing as men? She has the evidence that she's a virgin. I don't have that. These are the kinds of questions that you need to speak to God about. God is not challenged by questions like that. I remember praying one day, and I heard the Lord spoke to me. He said, because I made a man to be a man of His word. Your word makes you a man. If your yes is yes, and your no is no, keep your promise. A man is a man of integrity. A man is a man of boundaries. A man keeps agreements. A man pays his bills. A man is on time. That's a real man. Because you'll be in a relationship where you depend on somebody keeping promise. This is the essence of the whole setup. It's covenant that we talk about. When the hymen is broken, it's covenant that is established. It's covenant that says, my life is yours. My future is in your hands. I belong to you. It is covenant that God really thrives upon. You know, sometimes we want to give all the vulnerabilities and the intimacy at the expense of covenant. Covenant should open the door. It brings us safety. It brings us security. In my life with her, I don't fear any man. I'm not intimidated by any man. Because I'm anointed to husband her. Nobody else is. She's anointed to wife me. Nobody else can. I've counseled with pastors, with talented men, with business people. I've counseled with multiple men of that. You know, I spoke to them and they say, William, oh, die gras lyk altyd groener aan die ander kant van die draad. I wish I never did. It's deception to think that somebody else has the anointing to satisfy you. Regrets, 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 regrets. Don't do it. The blessing is within boundaries. The blessing is within covenant. The blessedness is what God always intended for you. Sex is not just for procreation. Sex is for pleasure. That's what God made it. To think that the woman in her 90s made this statement. Sarah made this statement. Sarah said, shall I have pleasure in my old age? Isn't that revealing? Shall I have pleasure in my old age? Yes, he's just uncovering stuff that we don't read in the Bible clear enough. You know that it was God's intention that the man brings the woman pleasure sexually. It's not about you. Men, it's not about you. It's about you bringing pleasure to her. Maybe we should read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 once again and put your name in there whenever it says love. Love is kind. Love doesn't prefer his own. Love is considerate. Put your name in there. Say, this is who I am. When it comes to sexuality, when it comes to sex, that you I'm talking about you married men, please listen to me here tonight, that you put yourself in there because you have been made in the likeness and the image of God. You have the nature of God. It's time that you say, this is me. This is me in the marriage bed. This is me as far as my wife is concerned. I asked the Lord years ago, what is a man of God? Tell me, what is a man of God? And I thought, maybe signs and wonders. Somebody's doing signs and wonders who speaks and things happen because people are moved by people with oratorical skills. People are moved by people who can really expand and break apart and just bring the word of God in an impressive way. And I, you know, the Lord broke it and revealed it to me. He said, this is a man of God. David was a man after God's heart. What made David a man after God's heart? It's a man who knows how to repent. A man who knows how to say sorry. A man who makes right. A man who says, she's more important than the issue. This is why many arguments put the person down completely. You slander a virgin in Israel. And God's saying, I will judge you. I will judge you. Repent. Make right. Be the first one to repent. Be a man of God. Don't let the issues become more important than the person. I pray, God, that you hear what the Spirit of God wants to do here tonight. I want you to close your eyes where you are, because I believe God, by His Spirit, wants to fall upon you, work inside of you. I want the blood of Jesus Christ, who is still effective and powerful here tonight, I want that to flow and do a work, a cleansing, a purification. I want God to do that in your life and in your heart here today. I want you to take and to have an undertaking. Thank you. Keep the lights as dim as it is, because we need privacy here tonight. I'm not here to put you to shame. I'm not asking you to raise your hands either to me here. It's between you and God. You know where you've made mistakes. You know where you have transgressed. You know where you've fallen prey. And God is saying, I'm here to make new. Let's walk in the light. Talk to God. Because you want the blessedness of sexuality. You want the fruitfulness. You want the pleasantness as God designed it. But for that, you'll have to walk in the light as He is in the light. The scripture is very clear. Canaan will never be yours if you don't say sin is sin, wrong is wrong. Right where you are. So I want you to put off the phone there. Excuse me, put off the phone. This is sacred moments. Look to me and look beyond. Close your eyes preferably. You speak to God. Say, God, please cleanse me tonight. Forgive me tonight. Help me tonight. I bring before you in your name the incident, the situation. You tell God, I don't want to live there any longer. I want you to make all things new. I want to be a moral example. I want to be a man and a woman of purity. I want to be an example. Just where you are, talk to God. He said, if you do, He'll cleanse you. He'll forgive you. Some of you will have to do something about your computers. Some of you will have to stop looking at certain websites. Do something about it. It's not enough to be forgiven. You need to be cleansed as well. So you go and do something. Some of you will have to move out if you are living together. You'll have to move out. Some of you will have to say to that boyfriend or to that girlfriend, no more. If I have value for you, you'll wait. I want to wait. And decide here tonight, I'll wait. Decide here tonight, I'll treat my wife in a way that brings pleasure to her before pleasure to me. I'll treat my husband, bringing pleasure to him before I think about myself. Love look outwards. Love gives. Love blesses. That's what love does. Father, I thank you that your blood is flowing right now over conscience, cleansing, purifying, delivering, setting free. I thank you for your plan, Lord God, that takes shape. Lord, it finds access into everyone sitting under the sound of my voice here tonight. I thank you that you by your Spirit correct the wrong. Thank you that you breathe new life, that you restore the dignity, that you restore the virtue, that you restore the purity once again upon everyone here under the sound of my voice. Thank you that you hasten the day to make us new. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.